श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधापति गिरि गौर धाम की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद धाम की जय। गौर विष्णु तो श्री भक्त जी की जय। नंद गोरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय। समगत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर वृंद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद गुरुदय श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नमने। नमस्ते सरस्वत देव गौरवाणी प्रसादने श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे। प्रिय काम श्रीमद् भागवत संहिता 26 एवं विमर्श्य श्रुतियो भगवति अनन्ते श्रवमना विदधते खलु भावयोगं ते मे न दन्दं अर्हन्ति अथ सुनियो भगवच्चनन्ते सर्वात्मना विदधते खलु भावयोगम् ते मे न दन्द अहन्त यद्यमीषाम् सपाकं तदपि हन्तुरुगाय बाधः। Amisham, of them, There is pakakam, sinful activity. Tat, that. Api,
also.
Hanti, destroy.
Guru
Gaya Vada, chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord. As I was considering all these points, therefore, intelligent man decides to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities. But even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts. They are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. For a part in this verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse in the verse Lord Brahma, Atapite Deva Param Bhuja Dvaya Prasada Lejana Grihita Evahi Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahino Nachanya Ekopi Sharam Vichinvam. The purport is that even though one is a very learned scholar of the Vedic Shastras, he may become fully unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of God and His name, fame, qualities, and so on. Whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of God, and somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore, this verse spoken by Yamaraj says, Eva Marmishta Sudyo Bhagavati. Those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become sudhiya, intelligent, but this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear, he is truly thoughtful because he engaged in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show, but with love, with his mind, words, and body. Non-devotees may make a show of religion, but it is not very effective because, although they ostentatiously attend at a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Such persons are neglecting their religious duty and are punishable by Yamaraj, but a devotee who commits sinful acts, which he may do unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits, is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement. Translation is through all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting devotional service and chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mind of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts. They are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is Yamaraj speaking, explaining the power of bhakti and the power of chanting the name in Sankirtan, which is part of bhakti. So in the previous verse, Yamaraj was explaining that some people are bewildered and do not take to the devotional process, but instead involved in karma yoga and varnashram, etc. And they get involved in that. And as a result, they get temporary material happiness in the form of sparkaloka, etc. So they are considered to be unfortunate. They may even go for liberation. So there's artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. These are the goals of people practicing the varnashram system. And therefore, they engage in karma yoga and jnana yoga and maybe asanga yoga. And this will give them artha, dharma, kama, and ultimately moksha. Huh? But this verse says, intelligent people don't do this. These are the fools that engage in karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga. So the intelligent person, he actually takes to the process of worshipping the Supreme Lord. And Supreme Lord is described here, of course, as Bhagavan and being unlimited, ananta, anante, having Bhagavan means having all auspicious qualities, and ananta, of course, means unlimited. So the Lord is the
source of all wonderful qualities, and we should worship him. Now, in the other systems, like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga, people may also worship the Lord, but not with the same devotion, not to the same degree, and not with the same conceptions. So that is the difference. Now, everything is ultimately produced by the Supreme Lord, so Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga are also in the scriptures and ultimately authorized by the Lord. But, and they're somehow connected with the Lord, but it is indirect. Bhakti is direct connection with the Lord, and the other process is indirect connection with the Lord. So in Karma Yoga, we know there is also worship of Devatas, and among them then there's also worship of Vishnu. So to that extent they recognize Vishnu. And of course they may go a little bit higher than that, and they may ultimately offer all their activities to the Supreme Lord, Karmarpana also. But even that is not considered real bhakti. Or if it is, it's an inferior form of bhakti, a minor form of bhakti. In Jnana, they, of course, are connected with the Lord because they try to understand Atma or Brahman, which is a byproduct of the Lord. So in that sense, they are also connected to the Lord. But it is a very limited connection because Brahman is only one aspect of the Lord, a minor aspect of the Lord. And the same with yoga. And in these systems, if they don't also worship the Lord to some degree, and respect the Lord, they cannot even get liberation. So in Bhagavatam it is said they fall from their position if they do not respect the Lord. So in other words, they cannot even actually get mukti if they disrespect the Lord in any way. So there must be a little bhakti there somewhere also, but it is very minor. So there is some connection with the Lord in these other processes. Nevertheless, they are condemned as inferior. Now, of course, we know that we have to respect Shruti, Shastra, etc. And these are processes recommended in Scripture. So they're applicable in some cases, in some time, like Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, for some people. But in Kali Yuga, Bhagavatam says these processes are not applicable at all for people. And people in general should just do Bhakti Yoga. So therefore, though the Shastras mention them, they are not practical processes for the people of Kali Yuga at all. And they're also indirect, even in other yugas. So the highest process, therefore, is the process of Bhakti. So that is why here Yamaraj says the intelligent people will therefore worship the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, who is full of unlimited qualities. So they directly worship the Lord. That bhakti here is called Bhava Yogam, which means, Bhava of course means a pure feeling for the Lord. Just as we have the stage Bhava and then Prema. So here we have Bhava Yoga, like Bhakti Yoga, so we have Bhava Yoga. So that yoga which produces Bhava, or actual love of the Supreme Lord. So the intelligent people engage in this process of Bhakti Yoga to the Supreme Lord, the Sarvatmana, which means with all their heart and soul, all their energy, etc. etc. So therefore the process for intelligent people is the process of Bhakti Yoga, not the other processes which give Artha, Dharma, Kama and Moksha. Now, Yamaraj of course is stating this because the question comes, why Ajamiya is not subject to his punishment? Because he was sinful. So the answer is, he chanted the name of the Lord. Even if it wasn't bhakti. At least it was chanting the name of the Lord. Here he says that people who may do sinful activities by mistake or illusion or whatnot, if they chant the name of the Lord, they don't get any reaction. So of course, how is that possible? if they chant the name of the Lord, they destroy all their sins, and they're not subject to Yamaraja's punishment. Ultimately, the reason is that the name is non-different from the Lord. And the Lord here is full of all wonderful qualities, Bhagavan. So he can do anything. He is greater than Yamaraj. Yamaraj may punish people or whatever, but Supreme Lord is full of all wonderful qualities. He can forgive everybody, and therefore they're not subject to punishment anymore. So why would the Lord forgive anybody if they're doing sinful activities? Generally, he doesn't. You do your sinful activity, then you get your karma. Yamaraj enacts your karma for you. So why, if you worship the Lord, you're free from that? Why, if you chant the name of the Lord, you're free from that karma? So the reason is that one has established some sort of connection with the Lord. So when we do that, then the Lord shows some attraction for the person. If we're connected with the Lord in some way, the Lord also connects with us, and therefore he exerts his influence there. And if we don't do that, then we just have to bear our karmas. So in other words, a person who has some connection with the Lord has disadvantage over other people. He directly gets mercy of the Lord. But we see in the case of Ajamil, he was not a devotee. He did not have any faith. He accidentally chanted the name of Narayana. So it wasn't even bhakti. It was not practice of bhava yoga like this, where he connects with the Lord with great devotion. I think it was accidental. And still he got the effect, which is stated here in the second part of the verse. If anyone chants the name of the Lord, then he destroys all of his sins. But he wasn't. He didn't have any bhakti at all. And still the effect is there. So why is that? First he says you have to have the devotion. And then actually he didn't have any devotion, but he simply chanted the name and still he got the effect. That again is the power of the name of the Lord. That even if one doesn't have devotion, there is still some effect. And the sins are destroyed. This goes not only for chanting the holy name, but even other processes of bhakti done accidentally will also destroy sins, such as observing Ekadasi by mistake. Somebody didn't have any food and he fasted on Ekadasi, therefore he got good effect and he destroyed his sins or whatever. So there's stories like that in the Puranas. Accidentally people do fasting or offer something to the Lord by mistake or whatever, or they don't even know it, and they get some good effect and destroy their karma. So any type of bhakti will do this. Accidental. It's not a real bhakti actually, but it's a devotional act they don't know about, called Agata Sukriti. So that has some effect in a sense of destroying sins, etc. And it is also advantageous that by doing this repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, birth after birth after birth, the Atma gets affected and develops faith. So this is what we call Agata Sukriti. One sense, this type of abhas, namabhas, and whatever, accidental chanting. So this is a gyato sukriti. By accumulation of these unknown accidental acts, then eventually the jiva develops prajna, or faith. And when the atma develops an inclination towards the Lord, then the person associates with devotees and gets knowledge and practices bhakti. So that it's a good beginning. This is how bhakti begins, by the influence of accidental bhakti in the form of a gyata sukriti. So all the processes of bhakti work like that. And they affect the atma, even though the person doesn't know that. But it's very, very simple. So if one has shraddha, that little bit of inclination for the Lord, and practices bhakti, the effect is much greater. So therefore, advancement will be quicker. So advancement through Agata Sukriti is accidental because we're not even trying to do it. And accidentally, birth after birth, we accumulate. It's a very slow process and the effect is a little bit. So when we have Shraddha, then we intentionally do bhakti. It's not accidental anymore. So we have all opportunities all day long, every day of the year, we can do bhakti by our choice. And we have faith already. Inclination to the Lord. So this is actually bhakti. So this has very great effect. So if accidental chanting can actually wipe out your sins, as in the case here of Ajamil, what to speak of chanting a devotion? Much more effect, obviously. So that is true. The intentionally performing bhakti or chanting the name will destroy sins. It will produce all wonderful qualities. And more than that, it will produce bhava and prema, which this accidental chanting and whatever will not do. It can destroy your karmas, but it will not actually give you prema. So that is why when people are encouraged to come to the level of actual bhakti, not this accidental chanting. So, but nevertheless, this is the beginning for people. Through accidental chanting or hearing the name of the Lord, gradually they, atma becomes affected, and eventually they can get shraddha, and then they can develop from there. And in the process, of course, their sinful reactions are destroyed, etc., whatever. So, of course, having sinful reactions destroyed, whatever, this is also somewhat favorable for bhakti. That if we have less misery in the material world, then we may take devotional service also. But the main effect of this is not the relief from punishment, but the actual gradual development of shraddha, the jiva. That's the real good effect of this type of accidental chanting in the name. Therefore, here Yamaraj is describing that the intelligent person will take to the worship of the Supreme Lord. But of course, it may take many births to get to that level of accepting. So he will have to go through this process of like Ajamil and do accidental chanting first and chant the name of Narayan, Narayan, Narayan is the name of the sun, and then eventually he may end up with that shraddha by which he can do bhakti or whatever. So we have these two levels, the accidental level, which is inferior but still has effect, and then we have the level of intentional devotional service, which we have called real bhakti. So this is the process recommended for the jivas. So, chanting the name of the Lord, Nam Sankirtan, is considered to be the Yuga Dharma. And Lord Chaitanya has said we should spread this to everyone. But then we also have a restriction there in the form of the ninth aparad, don't preach to the faithless persons. And everybody in Kali Yuga is without faith. So then how do we preach the holy name to everybody, because everybody's faithless? So we're stuck in some sort of predicament. If we do that, then we commit offense. And if we get offense, then we cannot chant properly. So we, and Lord Chaitanya says, you spread the holy name to everybody and preach bhakti to everybody. So, in other words, he's telling us to be offensive and stop our bhakti. So how can that be? And of course, offensive people get the name, then they also won't advance. It's very minimal, the advancement. If one is innocent, in the case of Ajamil and Chant, okay, fine. But if one has offense, then the effect is very, very minimal. Very, very little. How do we solve this problem? What is the solution to it? So the solution is that there are different types of people in the world. Some are, of course, aparadis or demons, very hostile. Some are neutral people, that is, ignorant people. And they're not plus, they're not minus, whatever. And then we have people with a little shraddha. So we have three types of people in the world. The people with shraddha may not be practicing and may not even know they have shraddha. And the innocent people also don't know anything. But they're not intentionally hostile towards the Supreme Lord, at least. So those persons, yes, they can benefit by taking up, hearing the name and getting preaching, etc. So we can spread the holy name to these persons and preach to them. What do we do with the other people? There is a whole section of people also with aparadis. Now Lord Chaitanya is famous as Mahapalanya because he delivers even aparadis. So how do you deliver aparadis when we commit offense by preaching to the aparadis. So the process is that still we can let them hear the name. That we cannot preach to them seriously about the name, but at least we can let them hear the name. So we can spread the name even to the aparadis in the form of hearing. And by that hearing process, they hear, eventually they can be purified of their aparadis. And at that stage, then we can actually preach about the holy name to them. So that is the general prescription in Kali Yuga. We can let everybody hear the name of the Lord, those persons who, through that hearing, develop attraction to those persons, we actually do the preaching for. And we avoid the aparadis or whatever like that. And we let them hear the name at least. So that's how we preach to those asuras, simply by letting them hear the name. So in this way, everybody gets benefit from chanting of the name. So we can benefit the asuras and the neutral persons and people with some devotion through chanting of the name of the Lord. So that is the special effect of the name. As I said, all bhakti processes have great effect on the jiva, even if he has no faith. But of all the processes, the name is very, very special. It has very great power. Though all the names of the Lord are powerful, the name of Krishna is especially powerful because he is Swayam Bhagavan. In this case, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayana, Vishnu form, and he got free of all of the sinful reactions. So the name of Krishna is even more powerful. So if a person chants the name of Krishna, he will get more effect, more powerful effect, because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and displays all wonderful qualities. So we see the case of someone like Shishupala, who was a demon. But he would think of Krishna and chant his name. And as a result, when Krishna killed him, he got a spiritual body in the spiritual world, even though he was an aparadi. So, the name has very, very great power to, of Krishna has very, very special power, because it is related to Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who has all wonderful qualities and all attractive qualities.
When Shishupal got the spiritual body with Prema, why didn't Kamsa got it? He was also against and
he also did.
He also did.
No, he was doing karmas as a brahmana. Yeah.
So something is there because of the Dada Guru came
to the it's not mentioned in Bhagavatam as such. There may be some other Purana that says that, but as far as the story goes, he didn't really have any bhakti.
Not in the ninth offense is basically using related to preaching the confidential glories of the holy name, or just preaching the holy name?
Well, what does preaching mean? We say if we seriously give instruction on the name, I think that's what it means. Okay, you start chanting the name and do this, whatever like this, then that would be spreading the glories of the name on the face of people. And if they just hear it, finally have them hear the name in the street and whatever, then there's no problem.
Means like when we hold program, there may be many people who come, and some of them just have come just to find faults or just to argue.
Yeah.
But we preach about the holy name in the...
That's okay. We're not giving individual instruction to tell them, okay, now you start chanting. And
majority of people are
So those are maybe not exactly faithless persons, but actually asuras. Hostile people.
Because of accidents, accidental performance of some activities, they gather the asuras.
Yeah.
So are these accidents also arranged by the Lord, or is by chance?
Oh.
And well, when we say everything's arrangement of the Lord, that's a very general statement. Ultimately, yes, everything's under the Lord, but we cannot say that my choice to do simple act is arrangement of the Lord also, or whatever like that, you know. So we do have our free will involved, and whatever there. And then we have acts in the material world, which are karmas also. It's effective karma, which that like indirectly is the what will of the Lord, because you've done a simple activity, therefore you're going to get this result in this lifetime. So there's some circumstances are in that way arranged by the Lord. So by accidental devotional services, we simply mean that without knowing it is a devotional act, he does it, whether it's arranged by the Lord or arranged by his karmas or whatever. We don't know how it comes about, but simply he doesn't know about it. That's accidental. It's not intentional on his part to do bhakti. Mercy of devotees. It's just the mercy of devotees. So they spread the name everywhere and then some people hear it.
That
works. The same rule of works for devotees. You get free of all your sinful reactions also, and you get more resolve in the sense that you get advanced in devotional service, and ultimately you reach prema. The difference is that he didn't have any rules and he got some effect. So we have rules, we get more effect by following the rules. That's all. In other words, we don't commit sinful activities. He committed sinful activities even after he was chanting the name and it didn't have any effect on him. Okay? So we know to avoid the sinful activities, and we have certain rules in chanting. We chant constantly, not just once, and we chant with devotion. So these are rules to help us. These are rules that we follow because of the faith we have. He didn't have any faith, so there was no rules to follow. We have faith, so we have rules to follow. Therefore, it's a more effective process of advancement. It's like learning to be a doctor. So you can learn to be a doctor by accident, maybe. But it may take a million years to gather all that accidental information to become a doctor. But if you go to the school, then they have a particular process which you volunteer to follow, and then you get the result very quickly.
Well, these people who are doing accidental devotional service or accidentally chanting the holy names, like what exactly does it mean that all their sins are forgiven? Like, do they remain under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj?
Vishwan Chakravarti says that when he named his son Narayana, all of his past, present, future karmas were destroyed at that point. Not when he died, but when he actually just named his son Narayana. So that works if one does not have aparadha. So he was not one way or the other. He had no hostility to the Lord. He had no shraddha for the Lord or anything. And he was not one way or the other. So therefore he got that effect. If we have some aparadha, then the same effect will not be there. We will get some effect, but not the same effect. So we'll get some dissipation of karma, but not all dissipation of karma. In the case of Ajamil, however, we see that it looked like he was still sinful, and he still does sinful acts, etc. after that point. So how is it possible that all the sins were erased? All those karmas were gone. How did he act like that? So the answer is that bhakti sometimes hides its effects. So there's an appearance of karmas and sinful acts even after that point for him. And it looked like it, but it actually wasn't karma. So it's an appearance of karmas and sinful acts, etc. But it actually wasn't. He was actually free of all of his sins at that point.
But in case of Ajamil, like, was accidental without faith, and he got a good fortune of associating with the
Krishna.
So I mean, how come it's an exception to the rule?
Well, I suppose so, yeah. We can't expect that in all cases, that we're going to accidentally chant and then that's okay, so then we get the association of Vishnu, who doesn't really die, and then we become devotees and we come back to life. So this is obviously an exceptional case.
Has anything at the last time, because you were chanting so much intensity, all that was for example, has that any rule to be
It's not really said, but when the Vishnu Guru said their answer of why we're here is because the Lord has said that anyone who chants the name is free from karma, so therefore you cannot touch them. So that's so whether they'll come personally or not, that may or may not happen in all cases.
You mentioned that only at a liberated stage one can chant purely.
No, well, the word pure is a little bit ambiguous because we do pure bhakti in sadhana. That's uttama bhakti as defined in nectar devotion. That's called pure bhakti. So it's not prema. It's not pure in that sense. And then we have pure bhakti in prema, which is pure. So when we talk about only the pure devotee does pure devotional service, no. People doing sadhana bhakti can do it also from the beginning of sadhana if they follow the definitions given by Rupa Goswami. Of course, it will be, of course, that they may leave for different reasons or whatever, but just as for yoga, even whatever a person does, not lost or whatever, so the same happens for bhakti also. But it's never depleted at all in the case of bhakti unless one does aparadhas. If one does aparadhas, then the bhakti should decrease or even be destroyed ultimately, depending on the seriousness of the aparadhas.
The question might be arising when a person is chanting itself should make the person not to commit aparadhas. Chanting is so powerful, it should actually overshadow the aparadhas mentality.
Well, that is so, but we're living in the material world and we associate with different types of people. So we associate with aparadhas, this will counteract the effect of our bhakti and that we'll develop that aparadhi mentality. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, asa sangha cha ge vaishnava cha. We should avoid the asa sangha.
What is the destination of these mayavadis? Because they also, like there are two types, sometimes some feel, some do kind of devotional service just to become God. And others are hardcore Mayavadis.
Well, Mayavadis, if they actually believe in Mayavad philosophy, offend the Lord because it's the Lord has a material form. So therefore, no liberation.
So sometimes they blaspheme the form of the Lord.
Yeah, it is so it's aparadha. But the basic philosophy of Mayavad is aparadha itself. So therefore, they can't get going. They can't get liberation.
They cannot get...
How do you appreciate
the other aspects of the Lord in terms of the form?
What is that?
When you say the Lord's name has a special potency, how do you appreciate
the potency of the other aspects of the form? Well, through the name we can realize his form, qualities, activities, etc. It's all within the name. So that includes everything. Well, to some degree, but not as powerful. So that's why the name is special.
In the conference, tell you the more devotees, more givers start chanting. They tell you this service for the Yamadutas. If you don't have any bus service to punish the givers, you know, when you're chanting, you know, just say, don't disturb devotees are chanting. Does that happen or not?
Well, yeah. If there's more devotees, then obviously the people that get punished by Yamaraj are less karmas are involved. But the other point is that even though, and the devotees may go to the spiritual world, but that doesn't mean that eventually the jivas disappear from the material world because there's always infinite jivas. So they will simply emerge from Mahavishnu at a certain point and then they'll populate the material world again.
My question is not pertaining to today's class. It is like there's an issue going on of Ayodhya temple construction or it should not be where the verdict is going to come into people. What should be the attitude or a thought process of a devotee regarding this?
Well, it's a complicated issue because that is a legal issue depending on the laws of the country. Is it not? So it may go this way or that way depending on the lawyers and depending on the laws and depending on the state. And of course, ultimately, we do have a secular state law or something like that. So that decision will be influenced by that to some degree. So we can't do anything about that because that's just the nature of the country. So we can't say right or wrong in that sense because it is legal according to the country. But the other issue, of course, is does it belong to Hindus or does it belong to Muslims or whatever? It's also a very ambiguous issue because how far you can trace back who something belongs to. So of course the Muslims came maybe 500 years ago or 700 years ago or whatever. Before that, the Hindus had control of it or whatever, like that. So then you can base your claims on that. But the same you can say about America. America, get out of America because it belongs to the Indians. They only came 300 years ago, or the, you know, anywhere around the world. Or the Jews came back to Israel and took it from the Palestinians. So the Palestinians are claiming it back now. But then the Jews said we had it 2,000 years ago, and then the Arabs can say, well, we had it before that. You know, so you can go on claiming things like that, but it's rather useless to claim based upon past history or whatever. So such claims ultimately can go back and forth forever, and you can never come to a solution based on that. The ultimate thing, of course, is nothing belongs to anybody. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So maybe the best solution is they can both own it. You can have a mosque there and have a temple there and finish it off. Fine, what's the big problem?
What attitude a devotee should keep when there's a public problem? What attitude or a thought process devotee should have towards that?
Well, I'm saying it's all politicalized, that's all. So generally we stay out of politics because everybody has their own selfish motives involved. It's not based upon ultimate truth. Their motives, there's some, you know, things behind their stance, so it's all political, so why get involved at all in that? They say they want to solve the problem, and they have both things that are fine.
Mahatma's birthday was found by a couple, it was lost for many years. They found out they were passing many maps, and so many places, the name thing was gone. But one must be having the solution that Rama was born in Britain, because I was so big, Rama was born anyway.
So the claim of that is his actual birthplace is probably just, you know, tradition or whatever of the last, I don't know how many years, maybe 1,000 years maybe? The Ayodhya temple is not even that old probably, it's probably maybe 700 years old possibly, like that. And then I don't know when the Muslims came around and did whatever they were doing. So there is, it's just based on tradition basically, that actual spot. So whether it's 20 feet to the left or right again doesn't really matter ultimately. Well, he was chanting for his son in helplessness, not even the Lord.
My question is,
so it wasn't.
When he saw Yamadutta, he became
a
yogi.
Yeah.
In our case.
And he chanted the name of his son. He didn't chant the name of the Lord. He chanted the name of his son, which happened to be the Lord. So it wasn't actual surrender to the Lord at that point. So in the case of people surrendering to the Lord, how do we create that surrender? One, of course, is by experience. If you do experience a lot of pain, you may surrender. Another is by intelligence. That we see the experiences in the material world of others, and therefore we surrender based on that. And of course the other method is we go to scripture and we use our intelligence there to follow the advice of scripture and surrender. Ultimately it will depend upon experience of previous lives.
And one is in difficulty, he chants near and neighbor's names.
Yeah, so one is attached to the Lord, one will chant the Lord's name, and one is attached to one's family members, one will chant those names instead. Is considered? Yeah. Well, it still has effect. So whether the name is chanted perfectly or imperfectly, it still has effect. It won't have complete effect, but it still has effect.
What if somebody asked you that, although BTC is spelling as Krishna, but we in Kerala chant as Krishna, and Krishna refers to other people in
Okay, Krishna.
Krishna, yeah. So they say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So,
well, yeah, as I said, even if it's imperfectly pronounced, it still has effect.
But ideally, if you were to say that, how would you?
Huh?
Ideally, how
would you? Well, we should say it correctly if we know.
The Chinese sometimes they don't.
Yeah, they can't say the name.
No,
so how they
Hare, Hare.
Yeah.
ಯಾರು ಕೊಡ್ತದೆ ನಿಮಗೆ ಯಾರು ಕೊಡ್ತದೆ ಯಾರು ಕೊಡ್ತದೆ
ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ದಿ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿಕ್ವಿಡ್ ವೆಜ್ಯೂಸ್.